Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. In today's episode, we are doing part two of what if you can't get or stay pregnant. So I'm talking through, I think it's the four or five different things to focus on. So if you haven't listened to part one, maybe listen at the end of this episode, head over and listen to part one, because I talk about another set of juicy things that play a really important role in terms of your fertility. And just to note, this is a really helpful episode, even if you're not looking to get pregnant or have kids. As a female, it's really important that you are fertile and that your fertility is really good, whether or not you want to have kids, because it is a sign of health. It is a sign of optimal health in women. Having healthy periods, having a good fertility is really, really important sign of you, your energy being good, your hormones being good, your mental health being good, your mitochondrial function, your cellular function is all on point if your body is able to make a baby. Does that make sense? So that's what we're talking about today. I hope you are doing well and enjoying some sunshine here in the UK and in Scotland. We had a weekend of glorious sunshine, quite impressive and unusual. Other news here is I got a bike. Very exciting. Also, you may hear my son in the background. It's just seeming impossible to record podcasts without some sort of, whining child in the background. But that's okay. Got a bike. Sunshine is out. And generally just feeling like, well, the sun makes everything better, really, doesn't it? Otherwise, I'm cooking up something really exciting that I've never done before, that's going to be kicking off in May. So make sure you're on my email list. I will tell you about this, but I'm just currently planning it out and I'm really excited. It's going to be completely free and probably one of the biggest free things I have ever done. And it's going to involve coaching with me, all sorts of stuff, completely free, and it's going to be awesome. So do stay tuned to emails and to this podcast, because I'll let you know what that is and how you can sign up soon. Otherwise, I've just been plodding on with work, seeing some awesome clients, reading their emails. Got some great emails this week from clients who, just from even implementing small tweaks, are like, oh my goodness, Kezia, I feel so much better. I had one client that was just always really struggling after cycling and exercise with her muscles and everything, suggested a small thing. She's like, oh my goodness, that's made a huge difference. So it's just so, I love doing what I do. I'm still working with clients just now. So if you are interested in working with me, then I'd love to chat with you on the phone. It's not a scary formal phone conversation. It's just easier to chat in person. Head to keziahall.com, click the work with me page and book your call there. And we can chat about the amazing shifts and transformations you can see in the next 12 weeks. Okay. Otherwise, let's get on with today's show. Okay, we are now on part two of If You Can't Get or Stay Pregnant, a kind of mini series we're looking at in terms of fertility. So if you haven't listened to part one, I talked about blood sugar, thyroid health, folate as opposed to folic acid, and the importance of your body feeling safe. So do make sure you listen to those, because those are some pretty important things and foundations to have when it comes to really optimizing your fertility. So, and again, just as a little reminder, I'm a holistic nutritionist. So I look at things from a holistic perspective, a whole perspective. So some of the things I'm sharing here aren't necessarily causes of your infertility, but they are part of the big picture. And if you think about fertility, isn't just something happening with your ovaries, it's actually an imbalance of your entire system, then you need to look at that bigger picture, as opposed to just, it's good to target, you might have obstructions in your fallopian tube, so it's really great to get targeted on that specific area, but you also need to look at the whole picture of things and bring balance and healing to the whole thing. Okay, so let's look at some of the other things. I think I've got about another four or five things that how I'm approaching this kind of mini series in the podcast is like you are one of my clients. I've had lots of clients come to me around working on hormone health and with the aim of getting pregnant or struggling to get pregnant, and then they come to me. And I actually had a client email me just about 2 weeks ago to tell me she was now pregnant. Yay. Very exciting. So this is something that I chat with a lot with clients, or is kind of something that I'm regularly discussing. And even actually, if you are a female client, you have an X and a Y chromosome and you are working with me, really optimizing your fertility is actually always going to be like on the back burner of my brain if you are kind of a childbearing age and haven't hit menopause yet. Whether or not you want to have kids isn't my business at all, but you being fertile is a really important expression and sign of health. So you do not have to have kids. It's 100% your choice, and it's none of my business, frankly. But I want you to be really fertile. Why? Because that means your body is well, it's working, it's healthy, it feels safe, it is a system that's working with itself and at peace with itself. So it's really, really important that our fertility, even if you're like, Kezia, I'm not looking to have kids soon, really optimizing your fertility is something you really want to focus on for men and for women. But most people that listen to this podcast are women. So let's dive on in. Okay, what is one of the other things that could be getting in the way of you either getting and staying pregnant from this holistic perspective? So the first thing I want to talk about in today's episode is toxins. So specifically environmental toxins. I know toxins is quite a vague, broad term. But we're looking at environmental toxins specifically, and these aren't things that are necessarily directly stopping you from getting pregnant, but they can cause a lot of inflammation and a lot of stress on the body. And I would say with a couple of these things, it's really difficult for you to get well and balanced and healthy and fertile if this is going on in the background. So environmental toxins. A big one that often doesn't get talked about that is huge in the UK, huge in America, huge across the world, is mold. So mycotoxins. So basically talking about mold in your house, but most of the time you're sitting here thinking, Kezia, I don't have mold in my house. You know, you might be sitting in your front room and you don't see black mold in right in front of you. This isn't always mold that is the obvious stuff that you see in front of you. It can happen in new houses if when they're being built, they got damp in construction and never kind of dried off properly. It can happen in old houses. It can happen just after a pipe burst or a leak. And obviously you deal with the leak and the mess, but there can be mold that comes out. So it's not just for old houses. It can be in new houses. And in the UK and in certain places in America, especially, we're in very kind of damp climate, it's the perfect conditions for mold to grow. And some people also genetically are more susceptible to this in that they struggle to detoxify more than other people. So I had an email recently. This isn't something someone I'm working with. They were just emailing me asking for help. They moved into an old house about 2 to 3 years ago, full of mold, real doer-upper, big, old, beautiful cottage. Or I don't think it was big, but an old, beautiful, lovely cottage, loads of work needed doing. Since they've moved into that house, they have had so many health issues, ongoing infections, all sorts of things. And even without testing, I would bet £5,000 that is because that house has mold and a mycotoxin toxicity is going on in the body, and it's a toxin that affects the whole system. It's really difficult for you to detoxify from, and it basically is like a slow poison. And some people, depending on certain genetic mutations in terms of your detox pathways, are going to struggle with that more than others, but it affects everyone negatively. It really, really is important. We recently discovered we had a leak in our roof, a small leak that's been not a big deal, but a little thing going on. And right away I was like, we need to fix this. And I'm now focused on trying to make sure my house is mold free. It's a really big deal. If you imagine you're sleeping for 8 hours a night, just breathing in toxins from your home, from your bedroom. Some people even, they maybe are not able to, because obviously the way that you figure out if you have mold, or the way that you treat it is to stop living somewhere that's moldy. But I know people that even when they've just sorted out their bedroom air has made such a difference. So making sure mold, this is a whole podcast in itself. There is a film called The Moldy Movie made by Dave Asprey. It's a little bit fear-mongering, but it's really helpful if you suspect this to be the case. Mold is one of those things that if you just can't figure out why you feel awful and you just keep getting worse and everyone tells you you're normal, but your health is steadily declining, mold is probably something to look into. Or if you've been told you have Lyme disease, you really need to look into mold. It's a really big connection between Lyme disease and mold or mitotoxin toxicity. So mold, really, really important. You can do tests on your body in terms of your immune system. Also, you can test your own house through taking kind of different samples throughout your house. Lots of different things. If you want to know more about that, you need to get in touch with me personally. And I'm sure at some point I'll do an episode on it, but I'm still learning about it myself. It's not an area I would count myself as an expert in, but I do think it plays a really important role. And it's something I'm looking into even for myself. So mold is one of them. Another thing in terms of toxins and pregnancy and fertility is heavy metals. So I did a heavy metal test a couple of years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago now, and it came up with really elevated arsenic. So I had really high arsenic in my tissues. Lots of people, I've run tests with clients where they have really high mercury, lead, aluminium, titanium, all sorts. And again, heavy metals, we're meant to have a little bit of metal in our body, like small amounts of, you know, minerals and metals and iron and those kind of things. But too much is a really big struggle. You know, we're not really meant to have a lot of lead, a lot of mercury, a lot of arsenic. And they really cause a lot of problems in terms of energy production, your mitochondrial function. So your mitochondria are the part of the cell that generates energy. And overall, they can cause a lot of havoc, but are kind of often quite just plugging away in the background, causing problems. So it's a bit like mold in that this isn't something that your doctor or GP would ever kind of check through with you. But if you really don't know, you're trying really hard with your health and you're not getting anywhere when it comes to fertilities and babies and all that sort of stuff, then it might be some heavy metal going on, heavy metal toxicity issues going on. I really see commonly mercury, arsenic, and what's the other one I said? Oh, aluminium. Those are probably the ones I see most common with my clients. So that's worth checking out, especially if you've been going at this for a few years, trying to work on your fertility for a while. You also get heavy metals whenever you get like vaccinations or certain medications and shots and things, just because it's a carrier of a lot of vaccinations. You can get it through food, through just using the wrong kind of cookware, you know, pots and pans and baking sheets and stuff for cooking with, all of that sort of stuff is really important. So toxins and environmental toxins, there's lots of other ones out there, but specifically the ones that I think are most problematic are probably heavy metals and mold. Okay, so if you're struggling to get or to stay pregnant, again, those things are important. Why are they important? Let's go back to what we talked about in the last episode, which is in order for you to get pregnant, in order for fertility to be optimal, your body needs to feel safe. And part of your body feeling safe is having very clear and easy pathways through the body. And if you're constantly feeling, if your body's got elevated arsenic, elevated lead, if you're constantly breathing in mitotoxins, constantly breathing in mold, which is a form of poison, if you've got the presence of these very toxic substances always being breathed in or sitting in your tissues, your body doesn't feel safe. It doesn't feel like, oh yeah, let's make a baby in this pool of arsenic that I have going on. And again, it's not because I'm not saying that if heavy metals or mold is the cause of infertility, but in that holistic bigger picture, it is not helping your body feel safe. Really important. So toxins. That's why before I got pregnant with my son, I probably spent like a year on and off doing detoxing things, really focus on detox throughout the year. I did a couple of 30 and 40 day detoxes. Again, that sounds more intense than it is. Remember, I'm an intuitive eater. I'm kind to myself, so this isn't like a juice cleanse, guys, here. But I really focus more on detoxifying. I knew I had arsenic toxicity, so I got an infrared sauna to help me sweat out some of that metal. I did some gut cleanses. I really just had a gentle focus on detoxing for that whole year, and I really made a difference. I felt a lot better prior to having my son because I knew it was how I really wanted to optimize fertility. The next reason for why you might not be able to get or stay pregnant comes back to your actual cycle itself. So when we talked about in the previous series I did of making your period your superpower, we talked about all the different phases of your cycle. So you're going to really struggle to get pregnant if you're not ovulating. And ovulation is the release of a matured egg into your fallopian tubes for conception to take place. So if you're not ovulating, obviously, that's going to be a real struggle and more direct impact when it comes to your fertility. Or perhaps you do ovulate, but maybe your luteal phase is very short or ineffective. So the luteal phase is that kind of 10 to 2 week period before your bleeding part of your cycle starts. If that's too short or isn't very effective, then that can also play a role in your body's ability to maintain a pregnancy, because it's in that phase that the embryo is meant to go in and embed nicely into your nice healthy uterine lining. So period issues obviously plays a role. Now that, and I'm not going to spend ages on this because we did a whole series, so go back and listen to some of the other episodes of what if you don't ovulate, what if you're, you know, what about the luteal phase and have issues there. Go back and have a look there. But really, there's so much you can do to just optimize and bring balance to your actual cycle. And this is obviously the area as well where you'll also get lots of help and intervention from conventional medicine, in terms of you might get tests done on different days of your cycle, you might go on Clomid to help you ovulate, you might go down assisted fertility routes, whatever it is, then that's more focused on your actual cycle itself. But there's so much you can do either before you get to that stage or if you are at that stage, so much stuff you can integrate in that as well. So do make sure you listen to Making Your Period Your Superpower, because obviously if your period is wonky and crazy and not very helpful, then that obviously is going to play a role in your fertility. But this is probably the area we are aware of and we get most help on. So I'm not going to spend ages on it, but it's important to mention. Okay, the next thing when it comes to getting and staying pregnant that we need to be aware of is our stress hormones. Now, I'm saying stress hormones rather than stress, because if I just say stressed, you'll probably tell me, no, Kezia, I'm not stressed. So let's focus on hormones that your body makes when it is stressed. Because when, if your body is consistently pumping out certain stress hormones, and let's just go with cortisol, because that's probably one you've heard of. It's not the only one, but it's an important one. And we'll just stick with that for this example. If your body's regularly pumping out cortisol, then what you can do is sort of skew your hormonal balance quite severely. And it can play a huge role in your metabolism, in your fertility, in everything. So it's really important when you think about stress, I'm not talking here about how you feel emotionally, actually. I'm talking about, is your body stressed? And you might feel fine. You might feel great. You might feel stressed at all. You might just be getting stuff done. This is just your normal. And this was me for a really long time, and it's still something I'm working on, because for me, elevated stress hormones, being in that fight and flight response, is what feels like my normal. Having those elevated stress hormones pumping out feels normal to me. That feels like, yeah, that's just me on a good day. And there's lots of reasons for that that I'm not going to get into here. But when I started to realize that stress isn't just about how I emotionally feel in the moment, although that is really important, it's also about the biochemistry of my body and what balance that is at, then, and you bring those two things together, that plays such a huge role. So you, let's just say you are struggling to get pregnant, and you've been trying for maybe 14 months to get pregnant, and you're like, Kezia, I don't feel that stressed. I've just been trying to do lots of things, but maybe your job is quite busy. Maybe you work in HR and you're busy managing lots of people, and your general whole day at work is you get in, boom, 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 meeting, 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 to-do list, you wolf down some lunch, you kind of finish work a little bit late, you kind of come home, your brain is still buzzing, then you maybe go to the gym or you go to your different appointments that you're going to help your fertility, like acupuncture and yoga and reflexology, or maybe to the gym or maybe to see a friend. And then you get home and then you cook dinner and then you've got all the other life things, life admin to do, car insurance and the bills. And then eventually you sit down at like 9 or 9:30 at night and you maybe watch an episode of your favorite thing and your brain is still buzzing and you're like, oh, tomorrow I've got that meeting. I need to do that. You write your to-do list down. Then eventually you go to bed and you go to sleep. And you might wake up in the night thinking about things, or you might have to-do lists going around in your head while you're lying in bed. That's not an unusual way of being. And that is a state of being stressed. That's a state of your body probably being in a fight and flight mode the whole time. Not because you're emotionally feeling stressed, but because you've got no breaks at work. Your nervous system is not able to switch into that parasympathetic nervous state. You're being productive all day. You're hitting it hard at the gym, and then you're going to all these different appointments to support your fertility that are a bit stressful, and you're taking all these supplements at different times, or maybe you're doing IVF and you've got to have these certain shots at different times. And all of that is really stressful for your body. And can, for a lot of women, lead them to have really elevated stress hormones. Now, obviously, everyone is different in this, but it's so important that every single day you can get your nervous system to go into this calmer state, into this parasympathetic nervous state. And for some of you, your history, the things that have happened to you in the past, means you really, really struggle to get your nervous system into this safe state because your mind is on high alert all the time because of past abuse, past trauma, past difficulty, whatever it is. And it's so important that you train your nervous system like you would at the gym to calm down. And I did a whole episode of this recently on calming down your nervous system. So I will link to that in the show notes. I think that's only like 4 episodes ago. So you can hop back and listen to that. Really listen to that episode and take action, because every day you need to be doing something and training your body to go into rest and digest mode, to go into the parasympathetic nervous state. Because if you don't do that intentionally, the way our culture and our lives is set up probably means that you are constantly on the go and constantly in stress mode. Not because you're busy, not because you necessarily feel emotionally stressed, but just because of the pace of our lives. So important. And on a biochemical level, if you've got excess, say, cortisol going on all the time, you actually can distract the body, or rob the body is probably not the right word, but let's just use it for this case, in terms of creating all your other healthy hormones. So if you're struggling to get pregnant, there's probably a need to support your hormones, your sex hormones, progesterone, estrogen, luteinizing hormone, your follicle stimulating hormone. If your body's prioritizing making stress hormones, it's not going to have the bandwidth necessarily to really focus on optimizing and balancing your sex hormones. Really important. The body makes hormones, and it has a pot of ingredients to make all of our hormones with. And we have tons of hormones, not just sex hormones and cortisol. Insulin is a hormone. All of these different things are hormones. It has a pot, cholesterol, where we make our hormones. And if you are just over generating on stress hormones all the time, then you can see how you're not necessarily facilitating the right environment in your body for optimal fertility. Does that make sense? Really important. So listen to that episode I did about calming down your nervous system. Another thing that I see a lot when it comes to fertility, especially getting pregnant, probably more than staying pregnant, is overexercise. And again, this links to stress. So you might be like, Kezia, exercise is good for me. Like, I've been told to exercise. And yes, exercise is so good for you. The reason exercise is a benefit to us is that it stresses our body out. And as we recover from that stress, that is where the benefit comes. So with fertility, if you over-exercise, and these are people that run a lot, do a lot of MetaFit, you might run half marathons, you might do triathlons, you might just go to the gym for 45 minutes every day and do HIIT workouts regularly, you might do a lot of weight training. You just like exercise. You do a lot of it. You've always been quite sporty. Maybe you train at netball or hockey or roller derby, and you have like 4 heavy training sessions a week. Over-exercise can really just add another stress to the body. So if you're struggling to get pregnant and you are exercising 5 to 6 days of the week, doing quite high intensity exercise, like HIIT training, lots of running, training for a half marathon or a marathon, triathlon, anything that's quite high intensity, I really encourage you to scale that back. So instead of working at 80, 90, 100% of your capacity, scale back your exercise to 50, 60% and do it maybe 3 times a week. I know that's probably not something you want to do, but it can make a huge difference, a huge, huge difference. I think last time I talked about weight in part one, and for some clients I've had, just gaining weight and exercising less is enough. That's all they need to get pregnant and to stay pregnant. They just needed to gain a little bit more weight so their body felt safe, and they needed to stop pounding their body so hard in terms of exercise in order to for their body just to go, oh yeah, we're safe. Okay, let's get pregnant. Okay, so have a check in with over exercise. And also with this as well, potentially, there's the option of under exercise. If you do not move your body at all, like you drive to work, or, you know, we're all working from home now, and you work in your office, at home, whatever, you come back, you finish work, you make dinner, you sit and watch the TV or read a book, you do zero exercise, you need to do some exercise. Your body needs exercise. You need to move. You are created to move. It does your hormones good to move your body. And I know you've just like, Kezia, you've just said two contradictory things. No, I haven't. This is the way the body works. It's more like we often like to think the body is black and white, as no exercise is best, no, loads of exercise is best. No, it's not. The body works on homeostasis. And I think of it like Goldilocks. Think of Goldilocks. Oh, that bed's too big. That bed's too small. That porridge is too much. That porridge is too little. The body is fussy like that. It wants some exercise and it needs exercise to thrive, but too much is a problem. You need body fat in order to feel fertile and well, but too much body fat can actually cause imbalances to your hormones. Do you see how it's not black and white? It's not like, oh, well, if B12 is good for me, I'll just take loads of B12 supplements. No, too much B12 can be really problematic, just as too little B12 can be. So if you're over exercising, pull back. If you do zero exercise, I encourage you to start going for a walk 4 days a week, just a half an hour walk 4 days a week. All of us can walk. Even when I had my most chronic back pain, which was really bad several years ago, I could still walk. Everyone was kind of uncomfortable, but I knew that doing nothing didn't actually help my pain management to a certain degree. Obviously, I don't know the situation you're in exactly, but we need to move and we can all walk. There's tons of online workout videos that I love. You can go for a walk. If you like walking, exercising with people, do it on Zoom, do it on FaceTime. Just pick the YouTube video, put your Zoom on and do it together. That can work really well. Okay, so exercise. The next thing that can get in the way when it comes to getting pregnant and staying pregnant to a certain degree as well is sperm. The sperm that you have and are using, or the sperm that is kind of swimming into the picture. So often with clients, I see that women taking a lot of responsibility when it comes to fertility, preparing for pregnancy, working on that, and the men, not so much. The sperm providers, not so much. It's really important that you have really robust, healthy DNA in that sperm, that the sperm that you're getting is a good swimmer, that it is strong, that it is robust. It's not lazy or struggling in any way. So it's really important. Again, this is something, remember that it takes two people to make a baby and you are not 100% responsible for this. It's not all down to you. Yes, you are the host of this baby, and a large part of pregnancy really is on the female shoulders, but sperm plays a huge role. And if you are doing all this stuff to work on your health and balance your hormones and fertility, and you're listening to this podcast and you're getting acupuncture and you're whatever it else, but your partner or the person providing sperm is doing diddly squat, that smells a bit of patriarchy to me. It's not, it is, you know, you can do all that you can do, but I really encourage you. It takes two people to make a baby and you really want good, healthy DNA arriving in that sperm. It's going to mean it finds the egg. It kind of can hone in on the egg better. It can swim better, better chances of getting there, better chances of surviving, better chances of healthy pregnancy. really important. And obviously, if you are in going through fertility treatment, both male and female, everything gets tested equally. So, you know, you might already have information about that sperm. But if you're not quite at that stage, and this is often where I see it most, is when people aren't maybe at that stage where they've had thorough testing yet. They've just been trying for maybe 8, 12, 14 months and are maybe about to get testing. But it's really maybe mainly the female that's putting in any effort here. But it takes two to tango. So remember that. You want good swimmers. And for men, especially in sperm, you really need good amounts of zinc. You need good B vitamins for its DNA replication, a healthy diet. All of these things that I've talked about can also apply with men as well. So those are the main things, along with what I've talked about in part one, that I look at when I'm dealing with a client whose period is off, and we're looking at optimizing their fertility. It's really important. Another thing I would note as well, which I maybe wouldn't say has as much, well, you could argue with this one to be fair, as much impact in terms of getting and staying pregnant. But if making humans is, if you're thinking it's going to be on your horizon at any point in the next 3, 12, 18 months, I really encourage you to prioritize your gut health. If you have any digestive issues, discomfort, or even if you don't, if you have no digestive issues at all, I really encourage you to work on your gut health. Why? Because when you have a child, when you make a human, your microbiome, your gut health is basically the blueprint that you give to your child when it is born. And it's so important that we know this through research, so much research, how important it is to have a healthy gut microbiome to pass on, and also why things like vaginal births and breastfeeding is so helpful and reduces risks in so many ways with children as they become adults, because a vaginal birth through the vaginal canal is that first kind of exposure to and first kind of baptism in your microbiome and your gut bacteria. Then you have breast milk and breastfeeding and that skin to skin time. Again, another way of getting all of that bacteria. We just know from so much research how much difference that makes. And so while we can't always control the types of births we have, and we can't always control whether breastfeeding is going to work for us or not, having experienced that myself, what we can control, or what we can, maybe control is not the best word, but what we can be aware of is the state of our own gut health, because that is what we are directly going to be passing on to our children. And it is one of the greatest gifts in terms of reducing their risk of chronic disease like asthma, hay fever, eczema, all these atopic things, in terms of their future risk of cardiovascular disease, strokes. Honestly, the more, when you look at the research from this, it is really, really phenomenal. So as someone who is going to be carrying a baby and birthing a baby, while we can't control necessarily the birth and we can't always control breastfeeding because that can come with challenges, what we can really work on is supporting and optimizing and balancing our gut health. And I just would really encourage you to do that, whether you've had a baby before or maybe you've never had any kids. It's really important to do that in between each child for the first time. Focus on your gut health. And this isn't about, oh, Kezia, I don't get bloated, I don't have any digestive systems. That doesn't mean you couldn't improve your gut health and this kind of bacterial microbiome that is going to be one of the first things that you hand over to your child. And it's going to play such a role in terms of how their health develops, how their mental health, their neurological development, all of these different kinds of things. So it's just something to think about and even just be aware of, because it plays such an important role. So if you have any questions of what I have shared in terms of if you can't get or stay pregnant, make sure you go and head to listen to part one, because I really shared more awesome stuff there. And then you can head over to Facebook or Instagram and you can direct message me or leave me a comment with any of your messengers. I would love to hear from you. I know this might cause questions, or you might be like, what about this and what about this? Then that is what this podcast is for. Do get in touch. Otherwise, have an amazing day and I'll see you soon. Lots of love. Bye. If you want to know more about this topic, maybe you are looking to conceive And you've got a certain health diagnosis that you think will make that difficult. Maybe you are really overweight and you're wondering how that will impact or not. Maybe you are slightly older and so you're worried about how age is going to impact your ability to conceive, or you feel like it's taking a long time, then do chat with me. I work with this and that kind of whole body approach with all of my clients. So I'd love to work with you. I take on a really limited number of clients because I go really deep. I research each client individually. We make a personalized plan of action. We look at the data, the research. We look at whatever other kind of treatment plans and medications you're on. And we really provide a really holistic and integrative approach to not just fertility, but your digestion, your hormones. I have a client just now who worked with me last year, and we really focused on optimizing her digestive health. And within 12 weeks, she'd seen phenomenal results after a lifetime of constipation and bloating and low energy. Then this year she was wanting to focus on really optimizing for fertility. She's slightly older. And so that's really been a focus. And that's a common thing I see with clients. So no matter where you're at, I'd love to chat with you. So just head over to keziahall.com, book your call. I know sometimes booking a call with someone on the internet can seem weird or a bit scary. I get that. It'll honestly just be a really chilled chat. I don't do any heavy sales techniques. I'm not going to like pull out any, I don't know, use common salesman tactics. I literally just want to chat with you, find out what's going on with your health, find out where you're at, what you want, what your history is, and just have a real conversation. So that's keziahall.com. Click the work with me page, find out how I work with people, and then book your call there. I work with a really limited number of people, and I will honestly tell you if I think I can help or if I can't. I'm not going to kind of BS you here. My true desire is that women can really heal. And if I can help with that, I'll tell you. If I can't, I'll also tell you. Sending you lots of love. Bye.